At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks and Sir Michael Ira Kaplan are on a quest to explore every town in America through the eyes of the scumbags, scoundrels, and world-touring comedians who grew up there. Who knows what they'll find out? This is Lost in America.
Everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 173. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Ira Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at KAP, Kaplan America on Instagram. You can find this show at Lost in America Pod. Are we Lost in America Pod on Instagram, Cap?
Lost in America Pod on Instagram. Lost N with just an N on America Pod on Twitter.
Yeah, but who cares about Twitter? Let's stick to Instagram. This is where we got a lot of news to announce right off the bat. We've been adding ton of new followers on Instagram. Our Instagram page is blowing up. For the past 10 days, or a week, or so, we've been posting every day, two videos a day on our Instagram page. Because why? Because we're doing a whole new show live from the bunker. I'm in my bunker. Kaplan's in his bunker. We're in New York City. We're broadcasting live to your bunker, wherever you are around the world. The whole world's on quarantine. This is the world's number one quarantine podcast. You got us one day a week here on Lost in America. You got us for $5 a month. You get four extra shows, one Tuesday through Friday, coming out every evening around 11 p.m. over there. We're wrapping up the news of the day. We're also observations from life under quarantine, Cap.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting my real A material those days because people are paying for it. This episode, I'm phoning it in.
You can't phone this in because this is our advertisement to get people over there.
Oh.
But how have we been doing over there, Cap? Tell the people.
We're blowing up. We're up to, we're going to congratulate. We have some new Patreons, right?
We have added a third. We've been doing this Patreon show for 6 months, but typically it was once a week. Last Monday, we ramped it up to 5 days or 4 days a week over there. So you get five shows a week. If you subscribe to it, you get five shows a week for $5 a month. And in the last 5 days, it's worked. We've added a third of our audience has come in the last 5 days. It's insane. We got a shout out to Weber, Michael H. Weber. You know him, screenwriter Michael H. Weber, the Fault in Our Stars.
First Oscar nominated patron.
Our first Oscar nominated Patreon subscriber, Pink Panther 2.
Yeah.
Electric Boogaloo.
Disaster Artist.
Disaster.
500 Days of Summer.
500 Days of Summer.
And then we have a former very early podcast, Jason Hammer, is now a patron.
Jason Hammer. Shout out to Hammer. We got Jake Cavanaugh. Shout out to Jake Cavanaugh. We got Vodka James in Houston. Shout out to Vodka James. I know he's working on
Ty in Houston.
They're both in Houston. Yeah. Sorry, Ty's in Houston. I don't think they know each other. They should meet, though, and have one
Houston.
Of those.
We're huge in Houston.
Well, we're so big in Houston. Now people are going to have to start doing meetups.
Yeah, we could arrange a meetup in Houston. We got to
podcast meetups.
Well, that's our next thing. We got to do some meetups.
Ty is actually in Houston. I know Vodka James, as far as I know, he's living on an oil rig. Lastly, shout out to Peter. I don't know how to pronounce your last name. Baloghe. Cap, how would you pronounce that? Baloghe.
Yeah, Peter Below. He's my favorite patron because he's someone that he's not a friend of ours.
Yeah, we don't know him personally.
He's a fan. We have a fan. So thank you, Peter.
So we're up to 20 people over there subscribed on Patreon.
Yeah. I was gonna say we were blowing up as far as like the numbers are, but I'm doing the math and we're doing three more episodes a week than we used to do. So I'm basically making the same hourly rate. So we need more. So I'm trying to say.
You're right. I was about to say we're doing four more a week, but you're right. We were already doing one a week over there. So we're doing five total a week you can get for $5 a month. It's the deal of the century, Cap.
It's a great deal. We're going to have to raise these prices once the economy, once we get our stimulus checks, once we know those have come in, we're going to have to, but the people are already in. If you get in now, we're not going to raise the price on you ever. So get in now.
Oh, you're right. Once a we're raising the prices. Oh, once we know America has their money back. Is
once
that
we're booming, because Trump said today that this is over soon. We're back to normal soon. So once we're back to normal in a couple weeks or a month, whenever that is, once we turn on the great American economy, we're going to have to raise the prices, obviously. So get in now.
That's it. The president said he's putting us back to work. Virus or no virus? And I think the answer is yes, virus. I don't think we've cleaned up the virus. I think he's just decided that it's time to go work in the middle of a virus. So roll the dice, people. Get back out to Best Buy. Get back out. Also,
it was a fun storyline for a week, but you know he knows TV. He knows that storyline. People get really bored of this quarantine storyline. We need movement. So let's update it. Let's now work with the virus.
It's so ridiculous. We're laughing, but it's not funny. We're laughing to – I mean, it's insane. But
we're here to soothe the pain.
Can I give you one more reason to subscribe to our Patreon, to our listeners here?
Please.
I have a giant announcement. I've been telling you about it, I don't know, since Saturday or Sunday. I'm not sure what. Something happened to me over the weekend. I was going to tell you today. I decided, you know what? We've had people specifically sign up for our Patreon page so they could hear me tell you the news. There are listeners who right now are listening and know the news, but they can't.
You don't have coronavirus, so we're going to get that off the table, right?
That's it. I do not have coronavirus, but anything else is on the table.
Anything else on the table?
Anything else is
You're identifying as a female, and you're going to have surgery.
Could have done. I could have been the one who gave Harvey Weinstein corona.
Oh, you just said you don't have it, though, but you implanted it in him.
Could have been me. Could have been me.
There's a lot of things.
Anything's on the table. I will be announcing it
tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 11 p.m. on the Patreon, live from the bunker, the world's number one quarantine podcast, as they're calling it. I didn't make that up. People are calling it that. People in the streets are stopping me. I mean, we're not in the streets. You know, we're quarantined, but. If I were in the streets.
Have you been on the streets today? Did you go out at all?
I did not go out today.
I went out once. I really was the best I'd done. I didn't go out at all. And then we wanted to get chicken for dinner. So I went to the grocery store and it was it wasn't the urban markets. The other ones had better chicken. And I went in there and it was like, it was the most dystopian grocery store I've ever been in. It was like very empty. Everyone was in masks. Everyone was in gloves. And it's like there's signs everywhere saying to stay 6 feet away from everybody at all times. But then I had to ask a question. I was trying to find something, and I found a worker. But I was trying to ask him the question without getting too close. It was it's a very hard – it's don't go out. It's too hard to live this way.
Are you – can I ask, are you in a mask and gloves at this point?
So I'm saving the mask. I feel like I don't want to roll it out just yet. I have the mask, but I'm in gloves. It's like I'm in I don't have like rubber gloves, so I'm wearing like actual like winter gloves. It's been cold, so it works.
That works. You can do that.
I'm wearing they're like isotoners.
You're in my world now. If you've been listening to the Patreon, you would know that I am in full gloves, full mask. Anytime I go out, it's the light of my life. I scare strangers. I scare people I know. I scare people in my building. I scare pedestrians. I scare babies.
And it's a great thing. You feel you could, if you wanted to kill somebody, you could easily, it's easier to get away with it now. The streets are empty.
Incredible.
There's no witnesses.
That could be my announcement tomorrow. I've gone full Patrick Bateman. I've been walking through New York City like American Psycho, just murdering prostitutes and bankers and all kinds of people, homeless people, everybody.
Of course, by the way, I'm wearing the gloves like for, you know, the whole time I walked there and back, and then I take the gloves off to take the phone up because I wanted to record a voice memo to somebody I want to talk about on the pod, possibly a note. And I'm recording for 10 seconds and then I scratch my face. So it's like I blew the whole thing.
Yeah, but you had the gloves on, so you're fine.
I had the gloves on, but that's true. I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's good to hear because I wasn't out today. It's good to hear that people are now wearing masks because the mask thing got up to about 30%. I think I was out 2 days ago. Got up to 30% in New York City.
Kind of feel like if everyone's wearing
Brooklyn,
a mask, then
in Brooklyn.
I don't have to. If everyone's wearing one, I'm okay, right? Then I'm covered. It's like herd immunity. Like I can't.
I don't think that's how herd immunity works. But Cap, let's get to what's important. You are now an elementary school teacher.
I think I should have a certificate, by the way.
Your children are 8 and 6, I want to say. Ruby Kaplan just turned 6.
I got 7 and 6, yeah. Teddy's not 8 quite yet, but he's in second grade, and I got a kindergartner. Ruby's in kindergarten. And last week we were homeschooling because they wanted to feel like It was like a race. Last week, it was like a race. They closed the schools, you know, the first week off last week, and it was like a race to be the most smuggy parent. Every parent had to post their videos of their kids doing something intellectual because no one wanted to admit that they were just let their kids watch TV and play video games all day, you know? So you had to find good websites. You had to.
Oh, you had to go out and buy a chalkboard.
You had a chalkboard. You had to bake something. You had to
turn it into like a miniature version of a classroom. You get a fish tank. You get schoolroom desks.
I mean, I was finding myself looking up websites and then telling people about websites. Like, it's an asshole. Like, who cares to, like, learn some science lessons? You know, like, making them do homework when they work, you have to turn in. Anyway, that's finally done. And now the school's actually stepped in and has given us lesson plans every day. So this today was day one of this experiment in trying to do it at home. Now we don't, the gig economy comes to, you know, elementary school. No need to go to the school. So you were asking me about it last on the Patreon show. You're asking me how, like, what does this actually entail, right? You have no idea.
How does teaching work? Yeah. Fill me in.
So they essentially, you have these dreams of like, oh, maybe I'm going to, you know, they're going to give me like a lesson on, you know, Theodore Roosevelt or George Washington. And I'm going to go over with them and answer questions and be this great teacher. But no, basically what it is you have to learn how to work every app you've never heard of. And then get, because it's like there's different apps on the iPads and on the computers for like math and for all these different subjects. And then there's Google Classroom, which is like and it's a way for teachers to upload material. And you have to figure out a way to, and there's like a sign in, there's like a, you have to have the kids have an email address this whole time from the school. And then you have to use that email address a lot. There's like, it literally took me like 2 hours to try to sign these kids into everything and try, you know, I don't know how, I know people aren't as tech savvy as me because, you know, I'm like an IT guy. Are you even doing this? But so it's really like survival of the fittest. Like the kids whose parents have computers, like multiple computers and iPads and phones and all these devices and who know how to do stuff are they're just gonna survive. Years from now they're gonna be in the best colleges, I guess. So that's the first thing. That first thing you have to know.
What happens, can I ask, what happens if you don't have a computer at home?
So they were giving them out last week from the schools, like devices, they said. I don't know if they were probably tablets, I'm assuming. But you know, it's weird because they said like tablets are fine, but then you have these things where you have to print them. And like a lot of people are already pitching to Bay because people who thought they were, you know, people who work from home all the time, who think they're pretty savvy, who clearly have enough money. They don't have printers. Like a lot of people don't have printers in their homes.
This is something I don't understand. Americans, thank you for hitting on this. Americans not having printers is the most shocking thing. When I moved back to New York, when I moved back to the United States, 2016, I got a printer right away. It was like making sure your shower turns on. You get a printer. You make sure the faucets work.
It seems very basic.
And then people would come, still to this day, people come over and they're blown away that I bought a $45 printer. 3 years ago, they're like, whoa, you have a printer. Like, ooh la la, where's the Corvette? You know?
And yeah, they act like it's a fax machine. It's not a fax machine. It's useful.
It's a printer. Well, mine's a 3-in-1, not to brag. Fax scan. Yeah print. But $45 you could get it for. Otherwise, you're going down to Kinko's and you're spending $12 every time you're there. It's paid for itself 10,000 times over. Keep going, Kevin.
Yeah, but I mean, it is great that some of the stuff is now on iPads where you don't have to actually do it on paper because it's a real – it's leveling the playing field with my son, who we've discussed has terrible handwriting – a serial killer's handwriting. So Teddy doesn't have to write as much now. So that is good that some of the things you don't have to print. But
that's a way to fix children's bad handwriting is just make just them stop eliminate. Handwriting.
Exactly. So
problem solved.
So, you know, I got these kids in easy. 8 o'clock we started working, which is actually before the school day. It wasn't until about 11 a.m. that I realized there was a spot where it was just to check in. Like in Google, one of the things is just to check in attendance. So both my kids were technically late. They're going to get a late because I screwed it up. Because a lot of the onus is on the parent.
And like, now what happens now? They have detention?
I don't know what's going to – it's just going to be on the report card. It counts. I looked it up the other day because I had to look up all this information, and I didn't realize how much stuff is online. And I was like, oh, Teddy's kindergarten. He was somehow late for school like 22 times, and Ruby was late last year 38 times. We're really shitty parents, but you need a month to catch up.
But I'm not still – I can't still picture what they're doing.
So, all right. So there – oh, yeah. So I was getting that. Not only do the teacher do things, but there's assignments. So the Spanish teacher, for instance, will post – a sing-along of like the alphabet So like they're doing the whole Spanish alphabet, and then I'm supposed to be there correcting them, but I don't know the Spanish alphabet, but Ruby was doing this and Teddy knows the Spanish alphabet. So he was correcting her. So he was helping. And then gym class, they're doing like mountain climbers, and they're doing like these kids push-ups, and they're all these like exercises just to do in the house.
They're doing like HIIT, yeah, high intensity, like core exercises.
Doing Orange Theory. with music class, they had like a song they had to follow along to with the notes, and they actually had like a quiz at the end of it. Like they do a lot of like Google form quizzes.
Do they play instruments or is this singing?
In school, they have instruments. They have like a keyboard. So yeah, there was some of that. You know, so Teddy had to, for instance, Teddy had to write that there was a story about this, an immigrant and this son and his dad, and Teddy had to write like something about it. And then he had to do math, and there was a math assignment he had to do. Basically everything they do, they turn it in and the teacher looks it over. So it is sort of like school, but it's much more, you know, it's like you're done quicker. It's like he cuts out all the red tape. You're just like, 2 hours, and it's like, all right, that's a school day. But you know what? Here's the bottom line, because why, you know, I wanted to rip on it and I want to say, and I'm sure as it goes, I'll have things they're going to drive me insane. But after day one, I'm feeling very good. I know on our Patreon show, we want to be positive, right?
Yes.
And I'm coming out of this feeling very positive because it dawned on me that as, you know, I'm sitting there fighting with Teddy to like write, and it's like 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, he's like, oh, just do the assignment, and I'm having deja vu. What am I having deja vu to? I'm having deja vu to homework every night. How it's like I want to blow my brains out trying to get these kids to do homework. But that's at 7:30 at night when I want to like do some, I want to have a drink and watch a basketball game and all that stuff. Having that same argument at 10:30 in the morning is not nearly as frustrating because it's like I have nowhere to go. It's the middle of a quarantine. It's like just sit here. We'll sit here all day. Do it.
Yeah.
And you're done. Worst case scenario, like a day doesn't go as smoothly as today or they have more work, they'll be done like 2 o'clock. And they're done at 2 o'clock. I don't have to feel this guilt about forcing kids to do homework. I don't have to fight with them. I don't have to, you know, so in the quarantine where we don't have to go outside, I don't have to feel this pressure these modern parents have. Their kids have to have lots of activities, that our kids have to have play dates.
No activities.
Have to be doing educational crap at all times, to go into museums, have to do field trips, to do this. All that's gone. And these kids can just be latchkey kids like we grew up with that can sit and watch TV, play video games, and I can just ignore them. And it's kind of peaceful. It's like kind of amazing. And between this and
it sounds great, Kaplan.
I'm kind of loving this quarantine. Yes.
We got to get to our guest. But this sounds great. Congratulations to you. Let's hope.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't even say who it was. Christina Peters.
Yeah.
You guys, Christina Peters is our guest today. We're really excited to have her in. She's calling us from Shenzhen, China. She is a friend of mine and my wife's, is for many years. She is originally from San Jose, California. She's living in Shenzhen. And she's going to tell us all about what, because they're doing a great job over there in China with this, now they are. They literally created the virus was started there. But now that it's gone around the world, they're doing a really good job at stifling it by everyone's quarantining. And the numbers are really low, if they even exist at all right now in China, for new cases. So we're going to call her and bring her in and see what she can tell us is going on over there so we can find out what we need to do in the future. Cap, should we bring her on in?
Bring her on in.
Call her
up.
All right, we're back with our guest, Christina Peters, calling us from Shenzhen, China. Christina, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
Thank you for doing it. We are so excited to have you on. We have a zillion questions. You know, America, we started our quarantine, I don't want to say in earnest. What's the opposite of in earnest? We did it a week ago. Very
against our will.
Not only against our will, but kind of take it or leave it. It was like, well,
we didn't really believe it was a thing. Yeah.
It was also mandatory, but it's city by city, state by state. Everyone's rolling out at different times. Some people,
it's pretty half-ass.
It's half-ass is the terminology I would
it's
use.
It's very American, to be honest. It's a very American quarantine.
It's the most American quarantine you could get. And so everyone's, you know, there's people who haven't left their house for 2 weeks, which is Yaya and I. And then you walk outside and people are playing tackle football on the street.
Not a joke.
No.
Basketball. Yeah.
So not only they have coronavirus, but they're probably getting run over by cars as well.
And they might have concussions.
And they might have concussions. So they have multiple issues. Plus, I mean, people are like beer bonging on spring break in Daytona Beach. They're sharing all kinds of fluids. So our question, we want to know, because China's ahead. All we hear right now is that China's so far ahead of us in terms of there's no new cases, you know, allegedly. And there's no new cases, but also like it's not spreading. Somehow it got contained. And so you guys are living in the future of if we do everything perfectly, they say, we could be you. We know we're not doing anything perfectly. And as we're recording this, the president just went on TV and said that he thinks we're about done with the quarantine. He thinks we passed the test.
We're almost done, like a week away, yeah.
He said we're a week away, and then everything's going to be fine. But anyway, we want to know from you, what is your experience? What's quarantine life like in China?
Well, can we start by saying, first of all, America isn't necessarily quarantining. They're doing shelter at home.
Shelter in place. Excuse
shelter
me.
In yeah, place.
Oh, shelter in place. Sorry, yeah, sorry.
That's our cool term they came up with.
Yeah, so even like when this all started going down in China, I would say it was at the end of June or end of January where it really started spreading throughout China, like outside of Wuhan and Hubei. And I actually went to Vietnam for a week, and I remember just traveling with my friends and every day just saying, "What's going on? What's going to happen if we go back to China? Are we going to have to quarantine?" Saying that we can go back home, we can go back and we have to stay at home, but basically doing the same thing with sheltering in place. And so that was even end of January, February, it was still like, this isn't real quarantining. And then I would say February is when they really started quarantining and actually quarantining people. So now, like, if people come back into China, it's a lot more cities are getting a lot more strict. We're saying that if you come back from one of the high-risk countries, then you're going to have to be in a hotel for 2 weeks. If some people are allowed to quarantine at home, but if you do quarantine at home, like they're really, really strict and you're not even allowed to leave your house. There's things where they put tape on your door so that people know that you're quarantining.
Oh, shame you.
Wait, who puts the tape on your door?
Well, in Shenzhen, I know they didn't put it on my door because I good. But like I've got some friends who it's like they come back and then they put tape on the door just so they knew you're quarantined for 2 weeks.
Like I've who's heard they? Is this cities, the police or the government?
So like each apartment compound, so if you guys know, most people in China, especially in the cities, live in apartment compounds. So most of the quarantine is actually run by the apartment compound, and then you might have community volunteers.
So this is a private company who owns...
No, it'll be whether it's members of the party or whether it's volunteers within the community itself. Each compound itself already has security guards. So...
But the security guards are not government. I mean, as long as from when I lived there, I remember that these compounds had security guards, but they're basically hired by the management company. These were just like guys who stood at the front desk. They weren't working for the government. So are the people you're talking about these government people or non-government?
The ones I've seen, like, I wouldn't say the ones even working at my compound are government employees, but the thing is a lot of the quarantining is being run even at the local level. So I think it's a lot of partnership between the people working for the apartment compounds with the city, with the province, with, up to the national level itself. So it's kind of a group effort, like, and even within cities, like you'll get different compounds have different rules and whatnot.
And what kind of tape do they put outside your door? Like, if you get like stuck in the tape, like do you break it and an alarm goes off, or do you get trapped in it so everyone can see that you try to come out, or like, what does that mean exactly? Is it like full body? their rap.
It's mostly like the police caution tape, I'd say. Like, I had a friend who went back to Hangzhou up north, and it was like they had the tape across their door.
Caution tape.
Like a murder got happening.
Pretty much.
That's shame. That's shaming.
Yeah, if I had to choose my option, I would much rather get the hotel where you get room service for the 2 weeks. Like, wouldn't you not leave the hotel room the whole time and just like hang out?
They bring you all your food and everything. But even if you're quarantined, they bring you all your deliveries, all your food, anything that you order, they bring it to your door. So you're not allowed to leave.
But what about, because, you know, the mayors here say, well, it's shelter in place. You're not allowed to leave your house unless you want to exercise or go get groceries. What about, do you guys have those except when they tape people up? Do they have those exceptions?
It depends on, again, like if you're coming back from high risk countries or not. Like if you are under mandatory quarantine, then you're not allowed to leave your apartment for 2 weeks. If you're under self quarantine, then it's 2 weeks of only leave to go get food or something like that.
Okay. Well, that's what we're all on then.
So do you send somebody out? Do they send somebody to get you groceries or something? Or how does this?
So like, even if you're looking at last month, like a lot of apartment compounds were saying that people might be only allowed out once every 2 days and only one person. So I know in February they were giving people like a ticket if they would leave the apartment compound to say this person can go outside to go to the supermarket or whatever, but then they have to come back.
But you're gonna send your strongest person and carry the most, I guess. So it's really
pretty much.
If you're a small little person there, you're never getting out.
So it didn't start out just saying everybody has to stay inside for 2 weeks straight.
How did it start? Yeah. So you said it was kind of a little relaxed when you first in late January, right?
I remember January 22nd in the morning, my mom was actually visiting. So in the morning we took the metro and I would say like 30% of people were wearing masks. And then by the evening, 80% of people were wearing masks. That was fun being like, mom, look, you're now in the middle of an epidemic. Cool. My mom came to visit. She flew back on January 23rd, which was really good because January 24th was when Wuhan and then Hubei started shutting down, like locking down. And then I actually left on the 24th of January to go to Vietnam for a week. So then I got a lot of my news just via WeChat and social media and everything like that. And then just watching, seeing everything's changing day to day. And then I actually went and stayed in Hong Kong for about 4 weeks because that was when they said that if you come back to Shenzhen, you might have to stay at home for 2 weeks. It wasn't 100% clear what's happening now because it's most of the cases that we're getting in China are imported, which means people coming back to China. They're a lot stricter with everybody coming in, like making sure to try and test everybody who's coming in, putting people in mandatory quarantine if they're coming back from, again, the high-risk countries or even like Europe in general, or North America or whatnot. So it's gotten a lot stricter just because they're trying to contain it still.
Christina, does the United States count as a high risk country? When you say the high risk
United States counts, yes.
It does. Hey, yes. Look at that.
There's like 24 countries right now that I know for Shanghai, you're under mandatory quarantine.
Okay.
Counts, US counts, yeah.
I'd heard something about buzzers being put on doors too. In Suzhou, is that the case?
That's what I've heard. I've seen it posted a couple places saying they'll put a buzzer at your door to see if you open your door or not. And then, like, if you want to leave, you
Cap, yeah. What do you think of the chances of this, of Americans putting up with all this?
I think the president would like some of these things. Like, he might, this is kind of fun. It makes it more like a game show or something. Like, if you have like fall into like a trap door, if you walk out, or like every like third person, not everyone who, but a buzzer, or you get to, no, Americans would not. We're very, like, you, as we were saying, like, people are, if it's nice weather out, we'll put up with it if it's raining and it's cold. Yeah, we'll stay inside. But if it's a beautiful spring day, we're not putting up with this. So
it's, I mean, even getting people to stay inside, it was such a futile, like an embarrassingly bad attempt at it. They didn't. Well, they just told. They were. Their solution was go on TV, tell people to go inside. But then if they don't go inside, then do nothing about it.
Well, we don't have the resources. What they don't have, they can't like just send the military into like.
Oh, you say like, they can't.
No, I mean, we can't. America can't. I'm saying,
I know. No, I think we can. I think the America can.
Not yet. Not yet.
Just wait. You wait.
Not yet.
You wait. I think here's a solution, Kaplan. Here's what needs to happen. And I don't mind going on the record saying this. These people playing basketball in Long Island City in Manhattan in the middle of a quarantine playing 3-on-3 basketball where they're throwing a ball around that's getting all of their mucus on it. Here's what you need to do. This is happening throughout the United States. Nobody's taking the president seriously. No one's taking Cuomo seriously. No, definitely no one's taking Billy de Blasio seriously. What you need to do is roll up with a tank to one of these basketball games. Just fire a missile into the game. Take
this
out
one. A warning shot.
One warning shot. You kill 10 to 12 people. Big deal. They're right. Dead. The rest of the country will snap too and go inside for as long as you need them to.
Do not give the president this idea.
Kaplan, if you don't do this, the estimates are that there's millions of people that are going to die. And I don't like to be negative, but if these guys keep playing basketball forever, this is going to last forever. It's going to kill our economy. I'm trying to get the president's ear here. It's going to kill our economy. And also, millions of grandparents are going to die. Or the other solution, you fire a grenade into a couple of small forward shooting guard point guards, you know? And let the chips fall where they may.
They would kill off a generation. Well, is that what they do in China?
No, it's not what they do in China. No, okay. No. They.
I mean, it's.
Go ahead, Christina.
Oh, I was just gonna say. You know, I mean, within China, the power is a bit more centralized, so people, I would say, are a little bit more willing to
people respect,
quarantine.
Respect and fear is what we don't have in America.
Yeah.
Nobody respects or fears our president.
But it was also, they had SARS. I mean, they've had SARS outbreaks within, you know, 17 years ago. So people really remember that. And they remember the fear of that and just the fear of living so closely next to people. Because things are a lot more densely populated here.
We don't have a lot of people who remember the Spanish flu. That's the problem. Maybe there's like a couple toddlers are still, you know, they were toddlers.
It is true, though.
20-year-olds.
If we, a couple of 100-year-olds.
105-year-olds.
Were toddlers during the Spanish. Imagine if you lived through the Spanish flu and this.
Well, the Spanish flu, they were homeschooled because of the Spanish flu. So because of that, it gave them the strength to live till now. They had like extra I don't know what, but yeah. So yeah, exactly. All these pandemics,
those Spanish flu survivors,
it's a club.
They had their masks in their holsters.
They didn't play basketball.
No, they've been wearing masks for months. Those Spanish flu survivors.
They always bought a lot of toilet paper. Those Spanish flu survivors. They were ready.
First people in the grocery stores, make sure food didn't run out. They remember. No, but it's true. If we had that here, if 10 years ago we had SARS or 17 years ago, then people would be. I think if we have a pandemic again, well, here's a question for Kaplan. If we have a pandemic again in a few years, do you think it's going to work better, or will people just continue playing basketball until they get shot by the police, by the military?
The next pandemic people will take more seriously. Yeah, it's like when there was the hurricane. We had this hurricane and nobody paid attention to all the warnings to get the hell out, and there was all this damage. You know, then the next time it's like rains, everyone left town. So
it's not our fault. It's only our first pandemic.
It's exactly. We need a mulligan.
It's a mulligan pandemic.
This is our version of population control, our reaction to this pandemic.
It's a breakfast ball.
But is China relaxing things at all, or is it still like I've heard? Isn't things going back to more normal in China, or no?
Yeah. I would say things have relaxed a bit. Like people are going back to work and whatnot. People are still cautious. I mean, everybody's still wearing masks when you go out. That's starting to relax a little bit, but I would say 99.9% of people I see out wearing masks.
It's now a fashion.
If you go out, yeah, pretty much. If you go to like the parks near me, especially on like Sunday, there's a lot of people out. But you know,
Are they staying 6 feet away from each other?
Good turn.
Social distancing?
More or less. But again, like, one thing China's done is they also rolled out tracking. So, like, you know, if people have been in contact with anybody who has coronavirus or if anybody has symptoms or whatnot, like,
you can look this up on an app somewhere or something. Or what do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I can see like all my neighbors, everyone, all my friends.
Not necessarily see all your friends, but there's one on like Alipay and WeChat, and each city has their own app. And if you're green, you're good to go. If you're red, then they say stay at home, and like they can actually. You can show that.
Christina, tell us a little bit more. Tell us a little bit more about how this works, how you have on your phone, on every phone, you have an app and you have a color. Can you explain us that whole?
So like WeChat, it's the messaging system that they use throughout all of China. But you can do everything with WeChat, literally name it. You can do it. They rolled out an antiviral code where you kind of scan that. And if you're green, then that shows that you have not had any contact with anybody who has the virus or anything like that. If you go into a restaurant now, even first of all, when you go into a restaurant, they take your temperature, they take your phone number.
Is there a section? Do they have different sections for like based on like green, red, some yellow section,
like a smoking section?
Yeah, exactly. That'd be a good idea.
It's more if you have a temperature, you're not allowed in.
Oh, okay.
And they say go home because they also take your phone number. So if anybody gets the virus, they can call you and tell you to stay at home.
So like after the next day, you know? Okay.
And is that when
somebody comes? I mean,
go ahead, Christina.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say you have to look at the symptomatic period, so it can be contagious for what, like 5 days? So if anybody comes in 5 days after you and they have it, well, you never know.
So what happens then if someone comes in 5 days
everybody in town?
If someone comes in 5 days later and they have it, well, and they were there the night you were there, does your app change colors automatically?
No, it's not like that where it does that. If you were at a restaurant at the same time as somebody who got diagnosed with coronavirus, then you might consider in contact with that person. They would ask you to come forward and let your community know that you've been in contact with somebody who might have it. They might say you need to stay at home, whatever. But
this is like the Foursquare app is like really taking a new turn here. This is amazing. It's like you can see so-and-so checked in, so-and-so this restaurant. It's great for restaurants and reviews.
Is there any culture of like ratting out your neighbor? Like, hey, they have coronavirus, or not ratting out, maybe be the wrong term. Turning in your neighbor, being like, hey, that person,
naming names.
People aren't as strict on that as much anymore, at least in Shenzhen, because it seems to be a lot more in control. But even yesterday I had somebody from my community come to my door, and it's the first time they've asked, but they're like, have you been here for the last month? Do you have any symptoms? Because they're getting a lot more cautious about people coming back from China, from Europe or North America or whatever. And so they're
okay. So you're a foreigner. Basically. So it's like she might have come back recently. Would that be the idea?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But even for like where your compound, they changed the rules in that nobody can go into a compound unless you live there. And even you go
in our compound. Yeah. That's a new rule.
Yeah.
Is it really, Kaplan?
In our apartment building, you can't come in unless, like, you're not allowed guests, but we're allowed, unless it's a caretaker, like a nanny or something for our kids or a family member.
So, Christina,
do they know if you live there?
Well, there's like a doorman. They supposedly know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you see staying long term? This kind of way of living with the temperature checks and the not letting people into compounds. What about, can you meet friends at like a restaurant or restaurants closed?
Yeah. Like that was in the last like 2 to 3 weeks, restaurants were finally allowed to reopen. But like, again, when you go there, they have to take your phone number. They have to take your temperature. For some of them, you have to register with the code that you were there.
And I want to
be a little bit more strict on other restaurants, especially bars and whatnot. But you also have to be 1.5 meters away from everybody. Hmm. Like, there's one bar here where they've actually marked the seats to say, you can sit here. This is okay to sit here. So it's like you're sitting diagonal from each other.
Wow. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's like, what do they call it? Framing for when you're shooting a movie. Right, Cap?
Yeah. Well, no, if you're dating now, I mean, you can't. It's really
I was just going to say, this is my next question. How do you get a, how do you take someone home if they have no visitors? You just have to hook up with someone who lives in your compound.
That's a move.
That's Cap. I mean, this is our
way. On all the dating apps, do they have the like color?
Oh, yeah. They tell you
green,
where they live.
Red. You know?
Green, orange, and red on the dating app? That's next to your Tinder profile?
Exactly. It's important.
Yeah, you don't want a red.
You have an app just for reds.
Well, what if it's a hot red?
The hot red? I mean, I'd take a hot red over an ugly green any day.
I left it the
wrong time. In your city, what was the, like, how many people at the peak of the problem had the virus?
I think,
do you know this?
I mean, all together in Shenzhen, I think there were only like less than 450 people who got it.
No way.
I think so for Shenzhen. Yeah, like Guangdong itself only got about 1500 people,
the whole province.
Because the thing to note, like reported cases, but the thing to note is that they shut down Hubei. Nobody allowed in or out.
Hubei province. So I'm just going to give people kind of a framework of what we're talking about here. Hubei province is like, think of states. This is like a state in the middle of the country. Guangdong province is right on the border across from Hong Kong, down in the south. It's Shenzhen's like one of the major cities there. And I would say, was there 100 million people in Guangdong province? I would estimate about
Guangdong
that
Guangdong has like 80 million, I think.
80 million.
Hubei has about 50 to 60.
So you're saying out of 80 million people, 450 people got it. I mean, we don't have that.
No. That's only in my city. That's only in my city.
Okay.
But this was like right at Spring Festival. So a lot of people had gone home for Spring Festival. There's a lot of workers down in Guangdong who go back to their hometowns for Spring Festival. So actually a lot of them were stuck up in Hubei. But like Hubei was locked down for at least 50 days. Like they're just now letting people out within
the whole province.
Last week or two. Mm-hmm. Like they closed it down. Nobody in, nobody out.
So if you lived there and you had left, you couldn't come back or?
No.
Wow.
What about if you needed
to stop trains, they stop cars.
What about if your basketball court was on the other side of the line? You know, like you lived on inside, but your court you'd normally play at was a mile down the road outside. Here they would make an exception.
Then hopefully your town is not locked down. Yeah. A lot of towns over nearby provinces were locking down as well. Like I know even Hangzhou locked down for a bit where it's nobody in unless you live there, like unless you're a resident there. So even Beijing locked down for a couple days where they said nobody allowed in unless you're a resident.
Did that prove to be successful?
I thought the US was going to do this, but...
Was it successful, Christina?
If they had not locked down Hubei itself, then this virus would probably be a lot more widespread than it is even right now. So even Guangdong was the second most affected province, and we had 1,400, 1,500 reported cases. So for that, yes, people were stuck at home and they couldn't leave, like, I have a couple coworkers who were stuck up there for, we're looking at 50 days and they couldn't leave. And that's the thing, they were literally not allowed to leave. And then they started with, you could leave your apartment. You could leave your apartment, like one person every 2 days, then one person every week. And then finally they're like, no, you guys stay at home. If you want to order food, that the food will be delivered. And everything was coordinated on WeChat and whatnot, but they made sure that people stayed home. And then like end of February, they locked everybody down, said nobody allowed in and out of your apartments at all. So, and that was their way of trying to quarantine it as much as it can. And when we're looking now, we'll probably see a rise in cases over the next couple weeks, 2 months or something like that, because people have been allowed to go back, but China's got to do that in order for people to actually go home and hopefully things to return to normal a little bit.
Yeah. And total, they were locked in for about 50 days.
Sorry. It was 50 days, if not 50. 53 days before they're
released. 53 days of hard quarantine, basically. Lockdown.
Yeah.
Can't leave the state. Can't leave the province. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So, all right, that's looking grim because I don't see any of that.
We're not doing that.
No.
Yeah. We like our interstates here in America.
You know when Cap, you know when you're surfing, they say you have to turn into the wave?
You always bring up surfing. I don't know.
Trump wants to do right now. He's like, why go away from it when you could just go head on straight into it? And it seems like that's the plan. So, Christina, seem to be safe. Are you locked in, or how long have you been locked down personally for?
I came back to Shenzhen about a month ago. Actually, today has been 4 weeks. And I only came back because I knew things were opening up a little bit more and that you could leave your apartment compound to go buy food and everything like that. So even now, like, I can leave my apartment compound to go buy food. I can go for a run if I want to. But again, if I leave my apartment, I wear a mask wherever I go. When I come home, I sanitize, you know, try not to have contact with too many people outside. I'll go have dinner with friends maybe a couple times a week just for sanity sake. But even with that, it's people that I know have been here as well for a couple months.
No handshakes,
a month or two,
no hugs. And,
we hug, and that's about it.
Oh, you do? Wait, sorry, what?
Elbow bump.
Did you hug?
Elbow bump. Yeah, but I also know those people have been here for 6 weeks, 7, 8 weeks. And
interesting.
You don't hug foreigners, though, that have been around.
Yeah.
There's
three people in the city right now that I would hang out with.
I think the most surprising thing to me here is that there was only 1,500 cases in all of Guangdong province. We have 10 states that by tomorrow are going to be over 1,500 cases, I would imagine.
I mean, New York State is at, what are we at, 30,000 cases or something right now?
Last I checked, 20,000, probably 30,000 by the time people are listening to this. Okay. Do we know what Wuhan got to at the height, the amount of cases? I'm curious to know when New York City will have more cases than Wuhan. Do you know, Christina?
China still got the most amount of cases. Like, there's 81,000 total cases in China. Looking at it right now, this one doesn't work. Like Wuhan itself, I think there were about 60,000 cases at least, but
all right. So New York's,
they're seeing a couple more cases coming up now just cause they've opened it up. But in terms of deaths, reported deaths, there were 3,271 or 77.
Bummer.
Those
are harder ones.
Worldometer right now. So,
yikes. Uh-huh. All right. Well, Christina, anything you want to say as we wrap this up here?
Yeah, give us some
anything
advice.
Any advice or anything we haven't covered that you think we should?
I mean, the biggest thing is that, yes, it's really hard in the West to say, okay, let's go for a hard lockdown. Let's go for that. But if you're looking at countries like China, like South Korea, who have managed to contain it to a certain extent, they've gone with quarantine, like proper quarantine. They've also gone with testing. Like if you look at South Korea, they've done the most testing in the world. So that's important as well, is that if you have symptoms, stay at home. It's not necessarily something to panic over, because most people probably will get it, but most people, if they get it, it'll be flu-like symptoms, maybe a little bit worse, but it'll be fine. But the thing to remember is that most people are not the vulnerable people who would be seriously affected by this. But, and also, the goal of social distancing is to stop the hospitals from getting overwhelmed. That's our ultimate goal, is what we need to remember, is that we don't want our hospitals to be overwhelmed, which right now it's happening in some states. If that happens...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, what do you think about our mayor who the day before they were closing the gyms on a couple Mondays ago. And so the day hours before they closed it, he decided to go to the gym to get one last workout in. Is that the right message to send to the people?
No, the right message is that there's a reason things are closing. Like,
yes!
Stay close with a certain number of people. Watch your mental health. Do something for mental health and their physical health, but you can do that at home. Like,
is there something you learned from being quarantined that you would like to, that we should, like an activity that is, you recommend, a highly fun quarantine activity? We're not even thinking of over here. Cause...
Well, one of my favorite things I think I've seen is like virtual happy hours.
All right.
So make sure that you're socializing, whether it's online or something like that, because if you isolate yourself too much, you're going to lose it, especially for people that live by themselves. Like I do. I live with a cat, but he doesn't talk back. So, you know, it's talk to people, try and focus on that. It will end. It will. That's not a question of what, like it won't end, but it will. But it's just a matter of stay safer now, take the precautions now so that the long-term effects are more positive, I guess.
All right. We'll take that. Thank you so much, Christina. Thank you for doing the show.
No problem.
Stay safe in Shenzhen. Yeah. It sounds like you are in a safer position than all of us are. so you should be saying that to us, but really, whatever. We should all stay safe. Everybody out there, Kaplan, we got to get to the news. We got to turn.
Yes. More news.
Let's get this thing, you know, try to end on a happy, happy note. Christina, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stay safe. No,
all right. We'll try. You guys too, as well. Especially you guys.
Thank you. Right. Thank you very
especially
much.
Yes. You're right. We are very important.
Good luck.
Especially us.
Good
people
luck.
Need the pod. What are they going to do without us? We can't go away.
Just remember 6 feet. That's all I can say.
Six feet. I don't know what is 1.5 meters, 6 feet. I don't even know, but we'll go with close enough.
Roughly.
Yeah. All two, right. 2 meters. But yeah, well, you can be a little tighter over there. They're not as fat as us.
Yeah, exactly.
That extra half a meter is in beer gut. In America, so it makes sense. It's the equivalent. It's the equivalent of 2 meters for Chinese people. All right, that's it. Let's get to the news. Cap, play the music. Kaplan, fantastic guest, Christina Peters.
Yeah, that was great. That was it's great to we haven't done a. It felt like the old podcast. Now we've got these international guests with interesting stories to give us.
We're learning. We're actually learning stuff.
Learning something. I love it.
What I learned is that I don't know how we're gonna do it. I don't see. Here's my only ray of hope. 2 weeks ago. If you were to tell me that America was going to even self-quarantine 90% of the country, I would say impossible. Americans won't put up with that. Now, true, there are a lot of Americans who do not put up with that, but there's still, I don't know, what percentage are we at that are actually following the rules? 50%, 60%, maybe? Maybe higher, maybe 70%.
I don't know. In New York City, I feel like people are following it more and more.
That's what Bill de Blasio
said. It's just going to be that problem is that people early on weren't. So there's just going to be a lot of people get sick, unfortunately. But hopefully it will eventually start to slow down because we're never going to go. It's a philosophical thing, but we're just never going to give up all freedom. So it's just not going to happen. So we'll do the best we can.
I'm disagreeing with you a bit in the sense that I didn't think you could get 80% of New Yorkers to stay inside, but it's happening now. So then what you could get them to do now, you might be able to get them to go even further 2 weeks from now, if that's the route they want to take. But I mean, I don't see our president taking
it. I think it's got to be way more, like, it's got to be like a more gruesome disease, to be honest, as far as people aren't seeing it. I just don't think they will. But we'll find out.
Let's get to the news. Let's try to do something. Let's try to keep it fun here. Here we go. Loss of smell and taste could be symptoms of the coronavirus, says, I don't know, the internet. Here's the issue for me. I've always had bad sense of smell.
Right. So as have I. We've talked about this. I don't smell anything. If I've left the gas on at times for like an hour at a time and not even noticed, it could burn the whole place down.
Well, that could be.
Like, what's this? Yeah. So I haven't had coronavirus for years, I think.
That's what I was going to say. I've had it forever. Yeah. I know Ye always is like, she can smell something like a 10 blocks away. She's like a golden retriever. She's like, oh, that smells gross in here. I'm like, I don't smell anything. So,
yeah, Randy's the same way, as are my kids. And they're just, and as obviously as Pancakes Kaplan. So my whole rest of my family can, they don't have enough corona.
I think if we were in China right now, they would put us on the orange. We'd at least, orange or red, I'm not sure what, just based off the smell.
That would be, it's that effect. It's like a caste system. I don't like it.
It's interesting. I could get used to all that stuff, but you know, whatever. That's me.
Maybe there's some sort of surgery you can do to like improve your like smell enhancement surgery.
Maybe so. I don't know. OJ, next news story. OJ Simpson says he will go crazy if his golf course closes.
That's like a real threat. Like, you say to yourself, like, how many people need to die? Like, what are the trade-offs, sinking the economy, all these things. But then OJ's the other way around. It's like, he's going to might kill a few people. So you got to take that into account.
Controversial statement, but is there a whiter person on earth than OJ Simpson?
That's the great part about his defense. He's the whitest guy. Rich golfer. And
he killed the lady.
OJ Simpson's now. We've discussed that we're all wearing his gloves. He
paid his way out of a murder trial. You can't get much whiter than that.
Do you think he should do a campaign, an ad campaign, to get people to wear gloves in public?
Yes, I do.
You should roping him in. That would be genius.
Get him some isotoner. Isotoner should bring him back.
If the glove fits, you won't get corona. You know, come up with something catchy.
Yeah,
and you know. I mean, he is such a like old white guy. Like my in-laws are telling me that people in Florida are still playing golf and they just play one. The rule is it's one person at a time on the golf carts. You can't share a golf cart, which I think the rule should be you have to walk if you're going to still play now. I mean, get some exercise, goddammit.
How about this? Shut down the course. You're 90 years old. It's a pandemic that's killing specifically you.
Right, but then you think about it. You're about to die. You might as well go and do what you love. But that's what they love golf. These people.
I think there's a part of them that's like, you know what? Take me if you're gonna take me.
Wait, Cap.
I didn't. Before we move on from this OJ Simpson thing, the message is: if the glove fits, you won't get sick.
Oh, there you go. You're like copywriter.
There you go.
That's good. We should let's get him. Let's maybe pitch him and get him on the pod.
The more you know, we'll get him one of those NBC campaigns.
You know, the other thing I was thinking though is that with Trump and we started the show talking about how he's trying to wrap this whole storyline up.
The storyline.
He wants the economy back
storyline.
Cranking. Well, think about it. This guy loves golf. More than anything, he wants to get back in the course. Even Trump knows he can't play golf as long as there's a pandemic. Like he's that aware. That's the baseline of his awareness. So he can't play golf for like, until this is over, he can't play golf. It's like, it's the only way to flatten the Trump golf curve that he was like on this. He was like well past Obama who played way so much golf and well past. So now it's like, he's going to even him out. And the best part is months from now, he's going to start saying, I played less golf than those guys because he couldn't play golf for months. But you know, we think about him and think about OJ. And before we make these rash decisions,
one more thought on OJ here. Everyone's talking about like, oh, during a real pandemic, real crisis, real, when everyone runs out of money in 2 weeks, you want to get a gun. You know, there's a run on guns. Everyone's going to buy guns right now. You got to bunker up. You got a gun up. The whole point of doing that is to be more dangerous, to be more feared. The number one person you want to be in a global crisis pandemic is OJ Simpson.
No, people are definitely afraid of you.
Who's crazy
murderer.
You're a crazy murderer.
Who also steals Heisman trophies
and jokes about
and
it.
Beats women
and write a book called "If I Killed It, Here's How I Did It."
Yeah, and he's now obsessed with fantasy football. Everyone follow him on Twitter. All he does is tweet about fantasy football and videos. And you're right, OJ's,
which is somehow scarier. He somehow becomes scarier. The nicer he gets, the scarier he gets because he's a psychopath.
Well,
hello, Twitter world. Like,
I want to be the judge. I don't know who
you're
the guy is. Films those. Everyone's got to follow the real OJ Simpson 32. I think it's his handle. But
best.
You got to see these videos. I don't know who does. He never reveals. He's never once revealed who takes the videos. Then don't turn the camera.
He's like, hello, Twitter world. And then they'll just talk about football. LaDainian Tomlinson scored 4 touchdowns today.
And then the best part is he has a catchphrase. He ends every video by going, "I'm just saying," and then he laughs. Like that's his like. It's like the way we say "get lost." He says, "Just saying."
Have you ever known a guy who, or a person who cheats on their spouse, like just consistently? I don't know if you've ever known anyone like this, but they have this. Psychotic. It's only something I've also seen in OJ, where it's this, it's a break from reality. They have a personality that's the nice guy personality, that's like their daytime personality. And then you know at night, I mean, it's not people I can ever confirm. It's just like you hear rumors about, you know what I mean? But it's people that you hear tons of rumors at night and on weekend. They go out and they're doing like nefarious things. But then during the day, they're this whole other person. It's the only thing I can equate to OJ, to watching the OJ videos.
Yeah, but now that's over because everyone knows he's, I mean, he still acts like that, but it's like. It's like everyone knows he's guilty.
So it would be like someone who cheated on their wife, but the wife knew it. But they still act like
But they still acted the whole...
Yeah, the whole charade.
Yeah. OJ, so let's keep the golf course. As long as humanly possible, let's keep a golf course open in Los Angeles, please.
Let's do it. Speaking of celebrities, Harvey Weinstein has coronavirus.
Oh.
He got it in prison.
It's a moment of silence.
He got in prison. We mentioned it earlier. It is an issue that the prisoners are getting corona because in Italy, when this happened, the prisoners all broke out of prison.
Right. They broke out or they released them?
No, they broke out. They just rioted their way out.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that story. I know they're releasing. They're starting to release some people because I think to try to keep it from spreading. They're almost saying let prisoners out of jail. Is that the theory?
In Italy?
No, in America, right?
That would be a bad theory. Just release them onto society?
Well, I think people who are due to get out soon enough. But, yeah, it's a great idea. All the cops are occupied with cracking down on keeping kids from playing basketball and enforcing this, quarantine. So now it's time to let more people, more prisoners out on the streets. But it's kind of a shame. Do you think he got it from – being like raped at least or no?
I would hope so. But here's the thing. I don't know. Harvey, they say he's fine though. They say he's experiencing no symptoms, which number one, how does he get a test with no symptoms?
Celebrities always get tests.
Celebrities can get, he still has some pull down at the Academy.
Yeah.
Number two, he has no symptoms. So he's totally fine, which means he's in good health, right? Because if you're old, you have to be in pretty good health to not have any symptoms. So if he's in good health, what the hell was that walker bullshit that he was walking in and out of court with 2 weeks ago?
Well, you thought that was for real?
Pretty sure it was not for real. But
I mean, it was like a Bill Cosby went like totally blind or something. They all come up with a... It's like they all watched that Sopranos season where Junior went like pretended he had like dementia or something.
Yeah.
I think that'll work, but... if anything, it's pathetic. I don't know. Look, I heard Harvey maybe had some back issues or something. I think he did, but he definitely played it up a little. And you know, I think guys like Harvey are like Trump and a lot of people who like have like you say like Trump's got he's older and he seems like he's out of shape and yet he's no health issues. It's just certain people that can fight through anything. Like they have like a will. Harvey's one of these guys. He would have. That's why the whole Me Too thing took him totally off guard because he thought he was invincible his whole life. He was.
Well, Trump's not in good health. Trump's being held together by diet pills and cocaine. I don't think he's.
No, he's that guy. Do you hear the Surgeon General of the United States of America said Trump's in better shape than he is? And that guy's like a 40-year-old fit guy.
Is that the same Surgeon General who stands next to him now, the bald black guy?
Yeah, that guy was on CNN, and I heard him, and he goes, he just started talking, and he said about this, and the guy said something about how the interviewer said something about how older people are more at risk, and he said, well, it depends on the circumstances. For instance, the president is in that age group, and he sleeps much less than I sleep, and yet he's in far better shape than I am.
And that's ridiculous.
Like any moment to kiss ass.
That's ridiculous.
So,
all right, last
story.
Some
old guys are in shape, yeah.
Last story of the week. We're going to end on a high note. There's a group of Hindu people who believe they've found the cure to coronavirus.
Oh, great. What is it?
Exciting news. All you have to do is drink cow urine.
Oh.
If you drink cow piss, you can be cured. Let me tell you what. If I get corona, that's why I bring, take me to a farm. Get me in a cow, link me, sync me up, whatever I have to do. I'll drink it to get out. What would you?
Well, I think it sounds really gross, but then I'm like, we drink cow breast milk all the time, right?
Yeah.
So it can't be that different. But I drink cow piss. No, I don't think it's a deadly. I feel like, I don't know. I don't think I feel like my heart attack material is going to run stale. I need a new bit. I could be the coronavirus guy. So no, I wouldn't drink
coronavirus.
I mean, I think you should do it.
Worst bit ever. Performing on performing on stage.
I need a new angle. I can't talk about these kids forever.
Get all the audience to sit 10 feet away. No one in the no one. It's just infecting our audience.
I'm all red. I come out with a mask. Gloves. And just start coughing on the guy in the front row.
I think somehow
or ventilator.
I thought it would be impossible, but I do think that somehow our next live pod will be less attend. Let me less people there than the previous.
But I had that life fest. It was hilarious. So if I have a ventilator, it'd be even better. Take it up a notch.
Yeah, you giving it to everyone. You can't give everyone else a heart attack by standing next to him, Kaplan.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I am. By the way, it's. You got to be careful. Like, you can't go to. I got a call today from our pediatrician. It's like, basically, if your kid's sick, you can't bring him to the pediatrician. You basically go fuck yourself, kind of thing.
That's every doctor in New York City. Yeah. You can't go.
So I almost want to call their bluff and have another heart attack because then they got to take me in. So, but no, I'm not going to do that. I don't take it to beds. I'll hold out.
Call his bluff and get corona.
Get corona. All right.
There you go. Your kid can go see him.
So, we never got to the bottom of this. Is this cow urine thing for real? Because I tell you, you know, the president will be tweeting about it in the morning about big news.
He heard on the pod.
He heard a cure. Very exciting. FDA approved cow urine.
Yes.
Get back to work.
It is. It's FDA. I think they're fast tracking it through the FDA. And yeah,
I can't wait till Fauci's got to like comment. Then they go to Dr. Fauci.
Oh yeah.
He said cow urine is great and to go. What are you? He's like, no. I got it.
And the blonde lady, she's gonna be like, I don't think so. No.
The blonde lady sort of is a yes woman, so she'll like sort of nod. And,
oh, yeah. She'll stick with it. All right, Cap. That's the podcast. Christina,
we'll be
Peters.
Back tomorrow.
We'll be back tomorrow, and every day this week, you go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. You can sign up. $5 a month gets you 5 shows a week. Thank you to Christina Peters for doing our podcast. Thank you to, I don't know, everyone for listening. And that's it, Cap. What should we do?
It's late at night. Let's get lost.
Let's get lost.